This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne for Newsmakers, and it is a fabulous day to live in the Midwest.
Spectacular. What are you talking about? Fabulous.
I know I said that when it was snowing, and I know I said that when it was flooding, but it is a fabulous place to live, and we're grateful every day, even though we have things that we'd like to see get better, honestly, but you know what? A great place to live.
Yeah. Today? I don't think it could get much better.
Unbeatable. A lot of fruit trees in bloom. The weather's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a great day. Only thing that could make it better is maybe another bridge over the Willamette, which definitely came to fore. Definitely came to foremind of when we had the floods.
Yes.
Everybody who takes River Road and crosses, you couldn't do it.
Yeah, right.
So that funnels. And I don't know. I think I'll have to check on this. Maybe our guest today knows this, but I don't think the ferries run when the river that passed.
No,
either.
It's too high. They had
so
to shut it down.
So the ferries closed, and Independence River closes, and all the more pressure on the dilapidated.
Pontoon crossing is what I was thinking.
Dilapidated, or, you know, kayak. Dilapidated.
You tried that.
Bridge infrastructure.
Didn't work out so well.
All right, folks. Thanks for joining us. It's great to have you here, where we talk local issues and ideas and institutions and individuals affecting the Mid-Willamette Valley, with heavy emphasis on Salem and Kaiser, Marion and Polk County. Only occasionally delve into the statewide stuff. With us today, we have the mayor of Salem, Chuck Bennett. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
It's always nice to have you here.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys are pretty fair weather people. That's all I can tell.
Got to appreciate it every day.
I won't be happy till you have a third bridge.
No.
You should live so long.
Yeah.
Under the current.
What are you saying, Chuck?
I'm saying don't hold your breath.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's, I've gotten to that age where you're like, well, this isn't going to happen in my lifetime. But,
right.
Or this isn't going to happen
kids.
In my working lifetime. But, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not the bridge, but I mean in general, any topics. It's like, I can see that coming.
If it stays on the current course it's on, which is it is dead, it will be a minimum of 20, 25 years before you'll see.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I can't believe they tossed that much time away.
So what was the headline about? $100 million to fix the existing bridge?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you been briefed on that?
Yeah, it was... It went through the legislature last session or mid during the last session for $60 million. And I think the thought was that, well, gosh, if we fix it, maybe we can fake it on a third bridge. Well, the problem is $60 million was clearly not enough. At the speed, that kind of construction, which is really steel and concrete, was escalating in price. It was pretty clear it was going to hit $100 million. I mean, that was kind of a ballpark figure that one of our legislators tossed into a bill. So I think what we'll be looking for now, they've asked me, the paper called me and asked me, what do you think? I said, well, call a legislator because they're going to have to pay for this. So we don't have $40 million for an old ODOT bridge that doesn't meet seismic standards. I mean, it's a mess, and it really points up again. If anyone wonders out there, do we need a third bridge, so-called third bridge? Yes, we do. That is a two-lane, one-bridge system. It's two bridges, one going one way, one the other. It's one bridge. We desperately need to have another bridge in this town. We were talking before, Independence during the flood wasn't available. The ferries closed. If there was a major incident, the Marion Street Bridge would go down. It's very old, and it can't be fixed at all, not for 100 at all. It can be replaced, but
really,
it can't be brought up to current standards. It's what it is. And then the question is, how would you even use the Center Street Bridge? People say, well, you could always two-way traffic and connect. Well, there's no on-off ramps on the other side of the river on the Center Street Bridge. It is not prepared to accept traffic headed in a westerly direction. the whole thing becomes ultimately one more proof of the real need to have an additional crossing, at least one.
You know, I attended a city council meeting where there was a lot of testimony, and the thing that sometimes it just takes a painting to picture, mm-hmm. right? And this is the one that obviously I saw the need and thought it was obvious as well, as the mayor is saying. The person said, well, imagine if I-5 is the obstacle for transportation. I-5 is the barrier, and we only allowed you to get on the other side of I-5 by Center Street, right?
Yeah.
You can get under I-5. You can get past I-5 on Mission Street and on State Street and on Market Street. But what if all of those avenues were closed and we forced everybody who wanted to be on the east side of I-5 to have to do it on Center Street?
Yeah.
That's what we're doing about getting to West Salem and getting to Polk County.
Pretty much.
We're taking, they're
exactly.
just
it's
funneling
a very good
everything
analogy.
To one spot. Everybody who wants to go west has to go to the exact same spot on the map.
Or to do it around you, you need to go to Albany or you need to go to Newburgh to do it, to get under I-5. I think that's an excellent analogy. I think it's unfortunate that a majority of the council, number one, I don't think understood the project or its desperate need or was willing to overcome the kind of ideological agreements they'd made during their elections. So we are where we are.
So you're saying that none of them live over in West Salem then?
I think that would be a really good start.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going into budget season for the city of Salem. Any major surprises? I mean, we see some things in the news. Steve Powers, the city manager, recommending some cuts to some programs and say, well, we can't really justify this and have the money for that and prioritize. And are there struggles going on the floor?
Well, there'll be some. I think there's real concern about using the youth programs. We've got quite a range of youth programs, really an outstanding employee that handles that. Same thing with the DARE program. That has been debated, as you know, a number of budget cycles as to whether it's effective or not. Well, I'll tell you, my email from parents of kids who've been through the DARE program say it is absolutely essential, and their kids love the program. They think it really helps them as they deal with issues, drugs and beyond. They're very, very positive about it. So I think those two programs really will be debated. They're not huge amounts of money. They're enough. I mean, they're enough to really talk about, but I think there'll be work to try to find alternative places to cut.
So when you say youth programs, what do we have left?
Well, actually, it's not the recreation. It's we provide support for in certain amounts of money, as I recall, for Boys and Girls Club, Thousand Souls. I can't remember all the – there's just a whole variety of them that we assist along the way. Plus, the woman in charge, Lori, does just a remarkable batch of work with a whole bunch of youth programs in the city. So it provides a lot of services, and I'm just not prepared to go into the detail. Yeah. I'd really slight the program if I tried to.
Good. All right. Well, that's interesting. And what about the money for the homeless? It's kind of also kind of a...
Well, I kind of hate to see it characterized as money for the homeless. We're not paying people to be homeless, Brent. Not yet.
That was poorly worded.
Not yet.
That was, yeah.
What about,
that didn't come out right.
But we're talking, it's
assistance
the homeless.
Tour.
Yeah, the assistance program. Well, we've had a program going in Salem where we're doing, trying to do permanent housing first for the most difficult members of the homeless community. This isn't the person, well, let's not say who it isn't. Let's just say who it is. It's a person who is physically ill, probably mentally ill or addicted or likely both, has been living on the street a minimum of 10 years, has most likely a prison or extensive felony record, has no credit. You wouldn't expect much credit to come out of that. Your credit score is not going to be real high under those circumstances. We are working with local landlords to house these folks, and then we provide wraparound services. We take care of housing costs and the wraparound services with this program. And our target has been 100 folks first year. We're hoping to do 100 second year. We're headed that direction. I think we'll make a second 100 in its third year, not in its second year. It took a year to build up. But this, if you look at how communities actually deal with homelessness, not hide it, not create tents in your neighborhood, tent communities in your neighborhood that need to be policed, but where you seriously go at it, this is how you do it. And we've had a very high success rate, in excess of 90%. One of our graduates of the program has already purchased his own home.
Holy cow.
Oh, this is remarkable. These are people who, if left as they are, they die at about age 52. These are the folks that die.
In our parks.
In your parks, on your streets, wherever. It's working well. What we discovered, though, is we can't get... It's been about $700,000 a year actually being spent, not $1.4 million, which was the initial allocation. So what the manager, I think, is doing is right-sizing it. He's just saying, look, we don't need an extra $700,000 sitting in the kitty for this program. We need to have $700,000 to keep the program on target, moving ahead as we had expected.
All right, we got to take a break. We're talking to the mayor of Salem. Chuck Bennett is with us here on Newsmakers. This is Brent with Dave, and we'll be right back on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers, proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back, friends. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. We're talking with Mayor Chuck Bennett of the City of Salem. As always, appreciate his time and his insights and letting us know what's going on. And we should not take for granted, you know, the accessibility of Mayor Chuck Bennett. You know, you see him in the communities, you see him at events, but he is somebody you can call, you can email, you hear on the radio.
Right.
He's out there.
It's hard to get away from me when you...
He has a real life.
Once he gets into your circle, you can't get rid of him.
You can't get rid of him.
He's got a wife. He
shows up for dinner.
Grandkids. But the fact that he does put in so much time and is available for us to ask questions to is really... We should not take it for granted. So thank you, Chuck.
No, you bet.
Let's talk about something happy, and it's coming up, is the police facility. We haven't had an update for a long time. Have you been briefed on how it's going, and are there about costs? Or
Right now, we know there's going to be... we think there's going to be some costs rebalancing that's going to have to go on. It's really... I think we're getting right down to the actual costs now of this thing. This is headed toward a final cost figure. We'll know exactly what it is because of the way we're doing it, which is a design build. It allows us to adjust what's going on right down to almost the final contracts, where we can change it and make it stay in line with our budget. It's an extraordinarily good way to do it, rather than low bid, which might not be as low as you need to get. You need to adjust your price. So it's going well. They have laid either all or part of the second floor now, that concrete, which was, God, I can't remember how many cement trucks showed up to do that. It was well in excess of 80. It may have been twice that or more, but it was a huge number. So we're now got the second floor on, and they're moving along. It's still right on schedule to open late summer, very early. Well, it'll be late summer, I think, of 2020. So it's a little over a year away.
I don't think we've asked this question before. Will the city continue to use the basement of the Civic Center where the police are currently calling home? Will that be storage? Are you going to put personnel there? Who's going to be volunteered to be squished?
Who's going to be at the bottom of the sandwich?
If you could move your office to the basement, that'd be great.
Well, we left the cops there for 45 years. I guess if they've got the guts to do it, we've got planners that could live down there.
Wow.
We'll be doing is refurbishing that, and we have people out in spaces we could rent. like at the Chemeketa Parkade. The Urban Renewal Agency is over there. We've got people kind of in various types of either rental buildings or mainly in buildings we could rent that we own to be rented out in the parkades and stuff. So we'll move those folks in after the space analysis has been conducted and any kind of required refurbishing is done to make it useful for them. But yeah, we'll do well on this. One of the parts of the bond measure was the cost savings we would have in rent, or either lost rent or rent that we're paying. So,
yeah, that was one of the pieces of the whole package that was difficult for a casual observer to understand. Mm-hmm. It's like we're renting space for the police department or we're renting space for other departments.
Yeah.
And that rent can go away. We don't have to spend it anymore.
And it was actually pretty significant. I can't pull up the figure, but I remember it being not, you know, tens of thousands. It was quite a bit more.
That'll be a happy day for the department when they're rolling their cars out of that new facility.
Right.
And going in and being able to have their equipment there and their
it's going to be much better.
Locker rooms there and their investigation, the community conversation there, all that stuff.
Just think how much happier they'll be.
When they stop you?
Working in the sunlight.
Yeah.
Rather than coming out of the basement.
Well, and living in the bottom
they'll
of the building.
They'll be happier when they pull you over.
Yeah. Much, much more pleasant.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe more warning.
Smile.
Yeah.
Smile. Nah, when you get the ticket, they'll smile.
Yeah. One of the things...
they do already, actually.
That saves us money, actually. And this is one of those things, as you said, during the process. Construction costs might increase, and you have to mitigate that. But one of the saving things is Salem actually does have a remarkably good credit rating.
Yeah.
That the amount that they owe at any one time is much lower than their self-imposed maximum. And they have a good record. So their credit rating to pay back bonds is very, very good, and that saves them in issuing costs of the bonds and a better interest rate, right?
That and the conservative way we've managed the budget over time, making sure we have substantial, about 10% or a little more cash carryover, that we this is an extraordinarily well-run city in terms of its fiscal management, and we're doing what we're supposed to do, which is at a certain point you right size it against the money you've got, or you get more money, one or the other.
Which, of course, they're talking about.
I think the last time
we were here, we were talking about how you were encouraging your counselors to send any new revenue proposals to the voters.
Absolutely. I do not understand how you collect money from people where you just want to use it for your general budget. Even though it's the right stuff, I mean, I agree with it completely, what the plan is, which is more cops, more, you know, the usual, or at least the same number we've got. But I don't see how you do it without a vote. And I think you can look at examples. Now, Kaiser, no reaction from this community up here when they were hit with a bill on their utility bill for, I think, police services and maybe some parks or something. They had a couple of things they were doing. But in Almsville, they recalled the council, and I think they recalled the mayor. I mean, they really cleaned house over there of the folks that voted for it. Here in Salem, I don't know how folks would react to it, but I don't think it's worth testing it. I think the right thing to do, I think would have been the right thing to do in Kaiser, too, is you ask the voters, do you want to be taxed or do you, you know, and with the full understanding, if you say no, certain things will be cut back.
Mm-hmm. If this is going to happen as far as this new revenue proposals, when would Salemites expect the motion to be made on the floor and to move it forward?
I think in the next couple months.
Okay.
I haven't seen the manager may have an actual plan for his timing of it, but my impression's been within the next 8 to 12 weeks, we'll see something.
Who's going to make the motion?
I don't know.
Okay.
Usually they look at on stuff like this, they look to the mayor to make the motion. So we'll see how that goes.
Does that pretty much throw you under the bus?
Well, not if I make the motion I'd want to make, which is you send it to the voters. I
don't
feel uncomfortable ever asking the voters this or this. I think if you get penalized for that, I'm in the wrong business. But
when in doubt, do the right thing.
Yeah, well, I think so. But I don't think you should not let the voters decide. If you think you have a problem, let the voters take a look at it.
There you go. And I echoed that a couple of, I think, not long ago. It's like, you do get hassles from people who are anti-tax 100%.
Yeah.
They're like, the so-and-so government and those so-and-so people, they're trying to reach in my pocket again, and they're asking for more money and blah, blah, blah. Which reality, from your perspective, from the policymaker's perspective, it is, here's our community, here's our physical situation, here are the services, we need this money to do that. Do you want to do it?
Yeah, it's asking permission. You're just asking permission.
So, yeah, lay it out there.
You can look at it as tax votes are the polite thing to do.
Right.
Yeah.
I know I'll get pushback on that.
Chuck, we had a caller actually ask how people could get a hold of you.
Through my office. Mm-hmm. It's cbennett@cityofsalem.net. cbennett@cityofsalem.net. Or my office number is 503-588-6255.
There you go.
All right. Well, we've only got another minute. Anything else you want to talk about with the people while you're here?
Oh, gosh. No, just That's have great. A great summer. We're going to have a lot of stuff going on here as the weather gets better. I mean, I'm ready for summer. This feels like summer to me.
Yeah, right?
So nice. I think we've got a lot of great events going on for the summer, and I hope everyone enjoys it. Then if you have any concerns, keep me posted.
I think we should have Steve Powers on the show, don't you think?
Oh, No, Steve's a great guy.
He's a very interesting man. He's a Michigan fan. I'm outing him right now.
Boy, you are brutal.
He's a Michigan fan, but other than that, he's a pretty good dude.
Well, say he's from Ohio and a Michigan fan. Jeez.
No, and he's has an interesting career background, so
we should reach out
to him and get the city manager.
Great guy. Great guy.
He could talk to a number of topics. Mayor Chuck Bennett, thank you again for being with us on Newsmakers. We appreciate it. Hey, we're going to talk about an event coming up this weekend that is going to be fun that I try to hit every year. So stick with us after the break. This is Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers proudly brought to you by our friends at Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back, my friends. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne.
Suddenly, you forgot what I was saying.
Suddenly Emerson, Lake and Palmer song came back in my head. So it might go right over your head if you weren't listening to alternative rock or progressive rock in the 70s. Welcome back, my friends.
What song were you thinking of?
It's from Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
I know them.
Yes.
What song?
It is Carnival 9.
Oh, wow.
Carnival 9. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends.
Yeah, that one. That's
all
a
right.
good one.
We got a guest on the radio, on the telephone here today. We invited in because I want to plug this event. It's
okay.
in Salem, and I love it when fun things happen in Salem, especially when they benefit great organizations. Hallie, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
It is Hallie, right? Haley?
Haley.
Haley Poplinski.
Uh-huh.
All right, I got one right. One out of two right.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, so thanks for having me.
You handle special events for the Boys and Girls Club, is that right?
Correct, yep.
So you're a busy girl.
Yeah,
especially
yes, I keep busy.
This week. So this week, because it's May, in May, so we have Cinco de Micro.
Yes.
I don't know of how many people see it. They drive
I've
by
heard
it.
About it.
They see the, it's a great logo. I mean, it's a great image, the logo, the name. It's very catchy. And it benefits the Boys and Girls Club.
Okay. So tell us about Haley.
Yeah, so we have, this is our eighth year doing this event, and it's an event that benefits the 15,000 kids that we serve at the Boys and Girls Club in Salem, Marion, Polk counties every year. Yeah. So we're really fortunate to have two great committee chairs who started this event for us 8 years ago, and since then it's taken off. So we have over 60 breweries and distilleries and cider houses who join us for this event. And it's May 3rd and May 4th, and it's a good time, a good weekend.
So that's Friday, Saturday?
Yes.
And when does it start? When can we start celebrating Cinco de Micro?
He's going to line up for that.
Yeah, so tickets are already on sale, and they're slightly cheaper and discounted if you purchase them in advance. So $20 in advance at cincodemicro.com, $25 at the door. And it opens on Friday at 4 p.m., and then we open at 2 p.m. on Saturday.
And it runs till when?
Till 10 p.m. both nights.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, if you haven't been there, you buy the tickets, and depending on what you when you're registering or walking, you might get a mug.
Yep.
Right. You get tokens, right?
Yep.
Uh-huh. You get tokens to taste. And there's 60 different vendors, you said.
Yep.
That are giving samples of beers, microbeers, all these things, ciders, which is good for me.
Yeah, me
and
too.
Even some wines, perhaps?
Yep. Uh-huh. There's a couple. And then also some distillers, so some hard alcohol.
Wow. So you get to walk through, and you get to taste all these things. You get to pick and choose, and you get to buy these little tokens. Then there's food carts, and you can stop for a bite to eat. And the weather is going to be spectacular, right?
And hang out, yeah.
Yes. And we also are fortunate enough, the Blazers have a game on Friday, so we will be showing that game on the large screen so that our guests don't have to miss that game.
Oh, wow.
Good idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way to get them coming out. Or get them, actually, get them to stay downtown, especially if they're downtown already. Just walk on down, because this is happening at the convention center.
Correct.
Right? So the whole ground floor is where it's been in the past.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And outside in the courtyard where the civic art is and what have you, and covered tent. You're going to have a covered tent?
Yep, the tent is already up and out on that street corner there.
So I can describe this because I think I've gone each of the last 3 years.
Yeah.
This thing. So
you jet setter, you.
Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, really fun things happen in Salem. We have to support them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Somebody launches this. We talked about it in Winterfest in January.
Mm-hmm.
Something you're going to do something in the dread of winter and go support them. Mm-hmm. If you want things to happen in your community, go out and join.
You have to support them.
So, plus, this is benefiting the Boys and Girls Club. So let's talk a little bit about the Boys and Girls Club. You have, of course, many programs. You're handling school-age kids up through high school, right?
Correct. Uh-huh.
And how many locations in the region now?
So we have 7 locations throughout Salem, Marion, and Polk counties.
I'm feeling old, but I remember when that was like 2.
Yes, yeah. We've grown. We've been fortunate enough to have great community support, and it's allowed us to scale out the areas in which we serve. So we have 1 in Woodburn, 1 in Kaiser, 1 in West Salem, and then our 1 downtown. The rest of them are mostly modulars on elementary school campuses.
So if a listener is not familiar, this is a place that kids can go for an extraordinarily moderate fee, like $5. It's still $5?
Correct, yep. Uh-huh.
For the whole year. And they have a place where there are adults and peers and activities and, you know, places to learn, places to recreate, places to socialize, to be out of trouble and be productive and get good mentorship and get encouragement and good vibes to be good citizens.
A safe place.
A safe place. Incredible work. So important. And all I have to do to support you guys is go drink some beer.
Correct.
twist my arm, Haley.
It's pretty simple.
All right. Got to go to the website. It is thinkingofmicro.com. You can get a ticket for $20. What do I get for my $20?
You'll get a glass mug, tasting tokens to get you started, 4 of them, and then you can purchase additional tokens as you need them.
How much are those?
$1 a taste, or $5 for a full beer.
Ooh, that's not bad.
$20, I got 2 tastes and a mug.
You get 4 tastes and a glass mug.
4
tastes. Mm-hmm. But wait, there's more. What do I have to do to get a t-shirt?
To get a t-shirt, you have to volunteer. So we have over 150 volunteers who serve as our pourers for the event.
And I bet you don't have any problem getting those people, do you?
You know, we always struggle. We have a handful of slots left on that last closing Saturday night shift.
What?
Yes.
So they get a free t-shirt.
They get free admission.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Free admission.
We're talking to Haley Poplinski from the Boys and Girls Club of, what do you call it, the Mid-Valley now? Because you're obviously more than Marion Polk County?
Salem, Marion, and Polk County.
Salem, Marion, Polk County.
You're expanding.
About Synchro to Micro happening downtown this weekend, 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock on Friday, 2 o'clock on Saturday. You come down to the convention center. It's going to be gorgeous, and there's going to be music, right?
I was just going to ask, what kind of live music?
We have a live music lineup. So on Friday night, Three Rivers Crossing and the Fat Bottom Girls, a Queen Showcase band,
nice,
will be performing. Yeah, and then on Saturday, we have Jacob Westfall and Gabe Cox.
Did you see a Queen Showcase band? A tribute band kind of
right?
thing?
You're going to be there. You're going to be there Friday night. I know you are, Brent.
Well, that sounds really, really fun. How many people walk through this thing?
We have about 4,000 people every year.
Wow.
4,000. Wow. Yeah. 4,000 times $20, that's a chunk of change.
Yes, it is. It is a good turnout. It raises about $150,000 for our organization every year. So it's a great, great event. Community comes out to support it. So we're really grateful to have that support.
So what's the next event after this that you're immediately going to have to start working on next Monday?
Yes, then comes our golf challenge.
Ooh.
So 10 holes, unique skills, like one of them is a beer explosion board, shipping balls to explode beer cans on a board. A skills challenge show off. So it is a test to who can be the best golfer with 10 different skills challenges.
That's not me.
Yeah,
no.
I don't need an invitation to that one.
No. But how can people donate to that one?
They can either put a team together, be a banner sponsor if there's a local business who's interested in sponsoring. And we also have that same day on the golf course in the morning, community members who are doing the 100-hole challenge. So community
wow.
members who will be golfing 100 holes.
That's a lot of golf.
Yes.
I think there needs to be a Newsmakers or a KYKN remote from the Cinco de Micro event this weekend.
Oh, from this weekend? Yeah. A little late good. For that, isn't it?
So Sue Bloom is the director.
Correct? She is, yeah.
And she, under her leadership, we appreciate all the work that she does. And I know that the Boys and Girls Club has a great local board,
yeah.
very strong. I know of very high caliber individuals that are on that board. Great leadership that have really grown this thing. It's just been amazing.
They hired Haley. Come on.
Yeah, you hired Haley. And who you mentioned they had a couple. You had a committee chairs, a couple of them that started this 8 years ago.
Yes.
Tell us who they are.
Jim and Mary Eastridge. We could not do this event without them. They are wonderful. They're great supporters of our kids. So we are just big fans of them.
So they came in one day and says, you know what we do? We should have beer and cider and wine tasting and some music. We'll have this big event, and people can drink and support the kids at the same time.
That, and then they make it all happen every year. They just pull it all together.
Wow.
So,
do they get a volunteer committee that help them? Obviously, they're the chairs, but you can't do everything.
Yes, we do have a handful of community members who also come out and support them in those efforts.
And that's how Salem gets things done.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's how Sam gets things done.
Make a call, 5 people show up, help you out.
I'm a little confused about your pourers, though. The people who are pouring the samples, they're volunteers. They don't work for the winery or the brewery or the distillery?
No, most of them are volunteers. So because we're a nonprofit, we are able to have volunteer pourers for that amount of time. So our volunteers do not need an OLCC license. They do sign, we go through OLCC paperwork and they sign forms saying that they won't serve anyone who's visibly intoxicated. And we take many measures and precautions to make sure that our guests remain safe at the event. But yeah, we're fortunate in that regard to have volunteer pourers.
That's very cool. And you know, for a buck a token, you know, I think you can buy 5 at a time or what. I have even given some away. They're affordable for one.
Sure.
And two, you have so many different samples. You have so many different kinds of things that you can get exposed to. I still remember there was one in Portland I'd never heard of, and I was sampling all the ciders that I could.
Nice.
And I thought I want to get some of that. It was something I hadn't had before, and it was remarkable. So
yes.
It's a great showcase.
Yes, Gilgamesh made a glitter beer to release at the event this year. So it's their first time making it, but there will be glitter beer.
Glitter beer.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's glittering inside the cup, and you're drinking glitter.
Yes, yep.
Okay. What other real quick, any other local breweries that will be represented there?
We do. Chicha's is coming out, Santiam, mm-hmm. Rusty Truck, Vine is a new one that we're excited to have join us, Parallel 45, Salem Ale Works, Sparky's, and that's just to name a few of them.
Indeed, because there's 60.
Right.
Yes.
It would take
her
all hour to mention all of them.
Well,
yes.
Thanks for coming on Newsmakers today and spotlighting this. I encourage you. Hopefully we'll push this up to 4,500 because Newsmakers told everybody to come.
Great. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Haley, thanks so much. We appreciate it. And we'll see you out at Cinco de Micro at the convention center this
Great.
Friday.
Great. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Haley. All right.
All right. Stick with us. That sounds really fun. 4 o'clock on Friday, you're getting off work. It's going to be beautiful. You don't want to go home and start your chores and start gardening. So head on downtown, support the boys and girls, have a blast, listen to music, have a few tastes. Hey, we'll be right back and finish our Tuesday hour here on Newsmakers 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly sponsored by Hamblin's Nursery.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. We've got one more segment with you during this noon hour. I want to talk about, drives me crazy, education package is moving forward. However, before we get into that, the education package, which should be titled tax package moving forward.
Correct.
And how that's connected with the potential walkout of schools and our kids being released early next week and so forth. However, I'll just bring up something we don't usually talk about, but I saw Joe Biden on TV this morning.
Yeah.
He's talking to Good Morning America, and Joe and his wife, and they're very slick. They're very polished, seem like nice human beings. And being interviewed, and the question is, one of the questions was, well, there's 19 other candidates running for the Democratic Party. What sets you apart? And he takes a breath and he says, I'm running for president because I blah, blah, blah. And then he fills in his all his talking points. And I just shook my head. I'm like, do you not understand that this is why Donald Trump is president?
Right.
Because they can't stand politicians like you anymore. You don't answer the question. And the answer you gave her was written down beforehand. You've rehearsed it 50 times. And your consultant has said to say these words.
That's right.
I couldn't believe it. You've learned nothing. They elected someone who was no experience in politics on purpose. Why did the American people do that, Joe Biden? Because they can't stand that flavor of politician anymore.
Nope.
Ugh, it's so discouraging. And it's just, I just don't get it.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
All right. We were talking about that earlier, and I, for the first time in my life since, 2016, since the presidential election, I got burned out on politics, but I really noticed the difference between liberals and conservatives, Republican, Democrat, whatever you want to call it. And I never noticed the separation between the two parties was so wide until now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, wow, I can't believe that they're way over there and we're kind of like over here.
Yeah. And
it just can't come to, I thought we were all Americans. Don't we want the same thing for America? Everybody to have a home, a car, a happy family. A good job?
No, because there are French people on and the left not that don't as many want you taxes. To have a car.
And not very many taxes. Yeah, I noticed that.
And it's not fair for you to have a home and somebody else not have a home.
I'm sorry, but I work hard for what I have.
So, and it's interesting because we see this in Oregon right now at the legislature. It's like, and we see it in national legislature, that if something's coming from the other political party, we have to be against it.
Yeah.
Or something comes out and they want to know, is this a Republican bill? Is it a Democrat bill?
That shouldn't matter.
Right. So it's interesting, and we won't get to it today, but the bill's about banning styrofoam packaging.
Yeah, I saw that. And plastic bags, statewide. And straws. I mean, they're trying to push all that stuff.
And there are Democrats that have issues with it.
Well, I would hope so.
It's not just all down party lines.
Good.
You know, some people making an educated.
I saw another thing that was really made a few brain cells explode. The legislature, our own legislature, is trying to propose to limit public access to records. That's totally not what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be allowing people, if you put in a request for a public record, you should have no problem getting that because it's public record.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking to limit it. What are they doing?
Transparent. Yeah, don't cry out for transparency from the Oval Office on everything and then not promote transparency,
right,
in government at all levels.
Yeah, and then there's the, what was that judge in Oregon? Sided with the state against Trump.
I don't know.
I just saw that. It was ridiculous. A judge sided with Oregon on a case against Trump. Trump in some of the federal lawsuits that are going on to limit his powers as president.
How does that work?
Exactly. I'm like, boom, another brain cell.
Yes. All right. We're going to talk about this education package. Though you throw me on tangents sometimes, Dave.
I'm sorry.
I remember.
That was a little soapbox.
I went to the University of California at Berkeley. It was my education. A fine education it was. Don't be. It was an incredible experience. It's not at all. I mean, even as old as I am, it was nothing like Berkeley of the 60s by the time I got there.
That's good.
So great institution. Great institution. But the U.S. representative that represented the city of Berkeley and surrounding areas, I think he must have set a record for how many lawsuits filed against a president. And like every other month, we were saying, Representative so-and-so has filed another lawsuit against Ronald Reagan over and over and over again. I think he probably wrote the book on how to write frivolous lawsuits against your chief executive. Anyway, all right, that's fun. Education package was in the headline, which discouraged me because this is a tax package.
Yeah.
They want to say, folks, don't get fooled. You read the headline, you think it's money to education. It's a tax package taxing Oregonians in a way they have never before been taxed. And it's new, and it's going to raise a lot of money, and they're selling it to you public relations wise as an education package.
Mm-hmm.
That bugs me. And it bugs me that the newspaper is somewhat complicit in that. They don't say the massive tax package is moving forward. Education package.
Do they lay at night and think of new ways to tax us?
They do. They do. And new ways to call taxes, different things. Joint Committee on Student Success is how this is coming out. So the package is coming out of committee. It's a House Bill 3427. It used to be House Bill 2019. This is what it does.
This is the ones that they're going out on May 8th, walking out to protest?
Yes and no. Yes and no.
Really?
Okay. So the money is supposed to go to education. And it's a big boost to education. It will be levied upon businesses, both in terms of a flat rate and a percentage. We'll get to that in a second. But it left the committee. So all bills go to committee and then they go to the House floor. 10-6 vote, strictly party lines. Republicans voted no. Democrats voted yes. And it's going to fund all of these mental health counselors, smaller classes, extended learning times, all this money going to K-12 education, nothing for higher ed. But businesses are going to be charged a 0.57% tax. It is a business activities tax, quote unquote. Well, they're not going to call it a sales tax, not going to call it a value added tax. They're not going to call it but business activities tax. If you sold more than $1 million worth, you're going to pay $250 flat rate plus 0.57% tax. Don't tell me, we've talked about this on Newsmakers before, that this is only going to affect small businesses. A lot of small businesses have $1 million of revenue and the owners make less than $50,000 a year and they're probably working 7 days a week.
You know they are.
So, Oregon Business and Industry, hey, thanks so much. They took a neutral vote.
Oh, sure.
Neutral position on it. Very, very disappointing. All right, more of this the rest of the week. Listen to Newsmakers. We'll see you back then. Thanks for joining us. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
See you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.